Pathwork Guide Lecture Number 21, The Fall. Greetings in the name of the Lord. Blessed are all of you, my dear friends. Last time, I talked about how evil came into existence. This question has bothered many people who cannot imagine how a God of love could permit the existence of evil. For those friends who are here for the first time, I suggest they listen to the last two lectures in order to understand this one, which is a continuation. To briefly recapitulate, I explained how long before the existence of the material world, some of the created beings who had been endowed not only with free will, but also with a certain power, abused this power. I explained how this fall of the angels, as it is called, happened gradually as a slow process of degeneration, whereby everything divine very slowly and gradually turned into its opposite aspect. In this way, a separation occurred between those who had abused their power and those who had not. I have often said, and this applies to all beings, spirit or human, that your attitudes, your opinions, your feelings, and your thoughts create the spiritual worlds, even though you may still live on earth. You each create the world which will be yours. In the same way, the spirits participating in the fall created new worlds according to their changing attitudes, dark worlds, often referred to as hell. The attitudes of disharmony and hatred created such forms. There is not just one possibility in this respect. Let us suppose, for instance, that a being in its perfect state had the particular characteristic of great strength of love, the fire of divine love. This love force would turn around into its opposite and create a fire of hatred and wickedness. Thus, a very disharmonious kind of fiery world would come into existence. So, you see, all legends are not as unreal as they might appear to you. Let us suppose another individual, in his or her perfect state of development, had the particular characteristic of wise judgment, calmness, and detached reflection. These attributes would enable the being to further the divine creation in a particular way through the slow unfoldment of this special creative power. Directed to its opposite force, this power would create a world of icy coldness, icy darkness, and desolation. There are many more possibilities of how the infinite variety of divine attributes can change into their opposite and create the corresponding spheres in the world of darkness, of which there is also an infinite variety, just as in the divine world. These spheres of fire or of icy coldness, in the spiritual sense, of course, are just two examples. There are spheres of slime and dirt, spheres of intense suffering through overcrowding, or through isolation, and many, many other varieties. Since one of the most important divine aspects is free will, or freedom of choice, this had to turn into its opposite, too. The spirit who was first to succumb to the temptation of abusing this power, the one who is sometimes referred to as Lucifer, Satan, or the devil, who influenced others to follow him, would naturally have been the first one to inhabit the new world that came into existence. This spirit had complete power over all those who followed him, and, contrary to God, he used this power. God gives the freedom of choice, and this has deeper significance than most of you realize. With that freedom necessarily comes the possibility to abuse the given power and to use it contrary to the divine laws. If no choice were available, there would be no freedom and no power. There can be no divine happiness, in fact, no divinity at all, if it cannot be attained or maintained by free choice. By the same token, the opposite of God and His laws must be the prohibition of free choice and the domination of the stronger over the weaker ones. This state of affairs would seem to make the salvation of the fallen beings impossible. For even should they come to the point of desiring to go back to God, they would not have had the power to do so, since they were under the dominion and power of the one who reigns in the world of darkness. On the other hand, how could God not break His own laws and still save those beings who longed for Him? If He were to use His infinite power by overruling the free will and the choice of those who decided to use the given power in their own way, He would actually be acting from the same principle as Lucifer. Here, more than in anything else, maintaining the divine principle was of utmost importance, for only if God remained true to Himself and His laws would there be a fundamental difference between the ways of God and the ways of Lucifer. Since it is God's plan that every creature should recognize Him and at the same time come back to Him out of free choice and reattain divinity, it was imperative that He not use the same means of force as His opponent, even though His purpose might be a good one. It is not the end alone that counts, but very much the means too. Only by remaining true to these principles would the most stubborn of the fallen beings one day see the vast difference between these two ways of being and understand the dignity that lies in the divine principles, even though it means a path of suffering for those who wish to get out of the self-created miserable circumstances. Since life in spirit is in direct relationship to the inner harmony, enlightenment, and general attitude, spirits who have become disharmonious cannot be simply put into a world of harmony as you might travel into a beautiful country. In the world of spirit, the country is both you and your product. Therefore, the once fallen spirits had and still have to attain a state where again they naturally produce harmonious worlds. That this can only be accomplished through the same slow process of development as the fall with its degeneration is natural enough. You will readily understand now that this must happen in free choice, too, so that questions like, "Why has God not done away with evil?" need not come up anymore in your deliberations. On the other hand, means had to be found so that the creatures who desired to return to God and to keep His laws instead of Lucifer's could do so within the framework of the laws of God. Thus, the free will of no one would be broken, not even Lucifer himself. This is the great plan of salvation in which Christ played a major role. I will talk about this in more detail the next time. The spheres of darkness first came into existence where the spirits lived under the dominion of Lucifer. In the beginning, there was no longing for or sense of the light they had once possessed. Only after tasting the self-chosen medicine for a considerable time, that is, experiencing a state of desolation, did a vague longing for something else, they did not quite know for what, take hold of some of these beings. It goes without saying that the memory of God and his worlds was extinguished to the degree that disharmony had set in, but it was revived again as attitudes changed. The latter could only occur as an exceedingly slow process, however. Spiritual darkness annuls knowledge, which is spiritual light. Just as with human beings, if you have no spiritual enlightenment, you have to work spiritually to regain glimpses of this light. The vague longing that first some and later more creatures felt was sufficient to bring a glimmer of light into their world, as though a faraway dawn changed the contours of their world a little bit. The cold would not be quite so cold anymore, the fire not so hot anymore, the filth not quite so filthy anymore, and the loneliness not quite so unbearable and hopeless anymore. When enough spirits came into the state of longing, and the longing increased, the time was ripe for the material world, as you know it, to come into existence. You may say that God created the material world, and this is true, for nothing can be created without the creative divine force. However, it is equally true that the material world was also created by the longing of enough spirits for something higher. The world in which you are now living is the product of the desire to strive higher. Here, conditions exist in which spiritual development can proceed and in which a free choice for God can be made, which is impossible in the worlds of darkness. In other words, this earth sphere is a product of the longing of the fallen spirits, and it is equally a product of the longing of the beings who remained with God and whose deepest desire was always and is always to bring their brothers and sisters back to God. Therefore, both the divine worlds and the worlds of darkness helped in the creation of this earth sphere. The influence of both worlds exists and will manifest itself according to the attitude of each individual being on this plane possessing the power of free choice. Conditions and circumstances on this earth sphere are different, of course, due to the new form of matter, but then circumstances vary in all spheres. Long before the fallen spirits developed far enough to be born as men and women, the spiritual life force first acted to create other forms of life. The original life force that works and manifests itself in each created being not only produced animals, plants, and minerals, but also other substances which were at first without awareness. Just as a plant is without self-awareness, so too were these substances. As time went on, more and more beings came into a state of longing for light. This would perhaps constitute the only feeling these beings had at that time. Very gradually, human beings came into existence in material form through various intermediate states. When this happened, a major phase was accomplished. This was the time when the first glimmer of self-awareness was born, or reborn, or reawakened. More and more people came to live on Earth. Only with self-awareness, which includes thinking and deciding, can development take place. All the forms of life which existed before human beings have been leading up to this point. You all know now that human beings produce their spiritual world, and on Earth, where the influence of God's world also existed, for the first time since the fall, they now had the opportunity to learn, to change, to turn to God, and thus to create a better world for themselves in both matter and spirit. They would go to the spirit world after the death of the body and also during sleep when the body rested. From the spirit world, they would receive inspirations and influences of all sorts. This is why development cannot proceed faster, for all the incarnated beings were at first so low in their development that they were constantly influenced by their own sphere. If God's world had not acted on this earth too, there would not have been any difference between the earth sphere and a sphere in the world of darkness. You must realize, my friends, that I can only give you a very rough outline of all this. This touches the very greatest questions, which cannot be fully understood by any human being, for both human language and human understanding are too limited. Therefore, as a rule, I do not even like to talk much about all this, because the main thing for you is to learn to know your own soul and to develop it spiritually. However, human beings often wonder about these fundamental questions, not merely in a spirit of superficial curiosity, but in good faith. And ignorance and wrong conceptions of some of these points may seriously hinder your development. This is why I have been charged to give this series of lectures, even though some of you may not yet have sufficient inner perception to sense and feel the truth and deep significance all this information holds in general, and also for your own lives in particular. How did the influence of the world of God manifest itself? Could angels of God guide and inspire the human beings who were incarnated from the spheres of darkness? This would be an impossibility, since according to universal law, an individual human being has to make the first step in order to receive help from the world of God. How could this step be made if the whole entity was still so coarse that it had no inkling of God, no idea of this world, and no notion of what to do? On the other hand, God's world co-created this material world and thus, according to the law of free will, had the right to manifest its influence on earth. The answer is that pure spirits who remained in the divine worlds were incarnated at all times. To be sure, very few were incarnated at one time, but the influence of one such being outweighs by far the strength and influence of 100 creatures of the world of darkness. The spirits who were incarnated from the world of God brought with them light, love, and wisdom. They fulfilled a great mission with their incarnation on earth, and their influence was much more far-reaching than might have appeared at first sight. With this influence growing steadily through the ages, the fallen spirits during their incarnation on earth could freely choose what side to listen to, the side that reached their lower nature, or the side that seemed to push them ever upward, regardless of the difficulties encountered. By such free choice, God's law concerning this aspect of life was not violated. Communication with the beyond took place not only through guidance and inspiration, but what always existed and what will exist, through a more direct form of communication, namely what you now call mediumship, in various forms. Communication with spheres of the beyond depends entirely on the attitude, goal, and general development of the medium, as well as of the people using the channel. During the early times, human beings who were fallen spirits could not have communications other than with the world of darkness. But the pure incarnated spirits had communication with the world of God, and this so strongly outweighed the danger and damage of communication with the Luciferic worlds that it was indeed worthwhile. If communication with one world could exist, a connection with the other was within the law. If one had been impossible, then the other would have had to be equally impossible. Incidentally, this is where some human beings make a great mistake when they reason that any communication with the beyond is luciferic and dangerous, and even claim that it is the only possible one. Human development could not have proceeded at all in those early times if the pure spirits who were occasionally incarnated could not have made a very direct connection with the world of God from which truth could come to humanity. To have this benefit and remain within the framework of the divine law, an equality had to exist so that each individual could make a free choice. An equal influence had to come from both sides. This meant fewer beings of the divine world living on earth because their strength always outweighs and outlasts the influence of evil. However, especially during the early times, a great interchange existed between the material and the luciferic worlds. The dark spirits claimed to be gods and to favor human beings with all sorts of grants if they, in turn, would follow what the luciferic spirits dictated. Despite all this harm and danger, the few communications which were established with the world of God made up for the damage 100 times over. The incarnated pure spirits had enough enlightenment within themselves to spread divine truth as well as the necessary requirements to be in communication with the world of God as instruments. For without the mediumistic connection, not enough truth could have been given to humanity. Even though the pure spirits had no evil in them, the material shell of a body took so much energy away that the teachings coming from within their own selves would not have been sufficient. Truth was spread in the manner that humanity, at each particular period, was ready to absorb. This went on for a long time. Gradually, more of the once fallen spirits came into the state where they could recognize God. Their longing became conscious and meaningful. Their will could now be developed to overcome the evil impulses of their lower nature. The change that began to take place had a much greater effect than can be easily realized. Not one of you fully understands that if a single person develops really well, doing the best in his or her power, this person does not only help himself, but adds the most valuable cosmic power to a great reservoir. It will ultimately have a very decisive effect that will spread considerably, even though the person may not see even a part of this effect. As people change, they might see some of the effect in their immediate surroundings by noticing how all of a sudden their fellow creatures begin to change a little bit due to their own change. But people will not know, as long as they are on Earth, how far-reaching the effect of the smallest endeavor in this direction is. No such endeavor is therefore ever in vain, my friends. It is as though you threw a stone into a pond of quiet water. A ring appears around it, then come more and more rings, until they extend so far that your eyes cannot follow them to the outer periphery, but the rings are still there. If one person overcomes a single weakness, it constitutes the best help in the great plan of salvation. Next time, I will continue from here and talk in greater detail about the part Jesus Christ has played in the plan of salvation.